Keep your shoulder up, George said, and turn your hand so you're hitting light with the first two knuckles. Terry nodded. He was wearing sneakers and knee-length black shorts and a blue tank top. George held up the big padded mitts. Left foot forward, George said. Stay balanced. Knees bent. Push against the floor. Terry nodded. Left jab, George said. Left jab. Right cross. Two lefts, Terry said. Yep. Crisp. Make his head snap. Terry went into his stance. His hands and wrists were taped. Over the tape, he had on big blue boxing gloves. He put the left one up near his temple and the right one a little lower, near the hinge of his jaw. His left foot was forward. He shuffled forward slightly and jabbed with his left, torquing his forearm so the punch would land the first two knuckles. And again. Both punches were off-center and slid off the mitt without the satisfying pop you got when it was solid. Set up, George said. Back to his stance briefly, then the right cross. It popped into George's left mitt. Better. The jabs sucked, Terry said. They were good punches, George said. They would have done the job. They just didn't hit the sweet spot. Right cross was there, Terry said. Supposed to be, George said. Let's do it again.
Same thing?
Same thing. They did it again, and three more times. Terry never got all three punches right in sequence. Take a break, George said, and nodded at a folding chair.
What the hell is wrong with me? Terry said. I can't get it.
George smiled. How old are you? He asked.
15,
Terry said. Not too late, George said. I think you got time to learn.
We've been working at it for 2 months now,
Terry said. Take 3,000-4,000 punches, each punch, for you groove the muscle memory, George said.
How many do you think I've done?
About 300, George said. Terry worked on his breathing. He still couldn't believe how hard it was to box, how tired he got, how quick.
How many do you think you've done, George?
George smiled and squinched his eyes and tilted his head back as if he were figuring.
1,000,000,
he said. And 8.
8, Terry said.
George was a solid-looking black man with a modest pot belly and graying hair. He shuffled his feet a little and put a tight left hook into the heavy bag. The bag nearly came loose from its tether. 9, George said. They both laughed.
Doesn't that hurt your hand? Terry said.
Nope.
You're not wearing gloves. You're not even taped. Why doesn't it hurt?
Used to it, George said. He was wearing black sweatpants and a gray t-shirt. His arms were still muscular-looking.
How old are you, George?
Terry said. 55.
How long did you fight?
Started when I was a kid, quit when I was 41.
Did you start doing this right after? Terry said.
Nope.
So what did you do?
I sparred a little, did some work as a bouncer.
Ever lose a fight in a bar?
Didn't have many, George said. Ones I had didn't last very long.
But did you ever lose?
No, George said. Course not. Terry nodded. His breathing had steadied.
Round two, he said.
Round two, George said. You in the heavy bag. Skycam 2. His name was Jason Green, and he was dead. The incoming tide had washed him up onto the beach and left him there as it receded. Now he lay on his back in the pale darkness and gazed sightlessly up at the moon while the declining ocean washed over his Air Jordans. He lay like that in the stillness of death until morning, when a yellow Labrador retriever trotted happily down the beach and stopped to sniff at him. She wagged her tail and stepped back a little, then began to circle him, sniffing as she went, her tail wagging eagerly. A ways behind the dog came her owner, a woman wearing a Red Sox baseball cap and a maroon warm-up suit. She carried a leash. When she saw her dog sniffing, the woman stopped.
Molly,
she said to the dog, her voice beginning to rise. Molly, you get away from there. Molly! Molly!
Molly stopped sniffing and looked at her owner. Molly! The owner was screaming now.
You come now! Come!
Molly gave the dog equivalent of a resigned shrug and trotted over to the woman in the maroon warm-ups. The woman snapped the leash onto Molly's collar and turned, and the two of them ran back up the beach. As they ran, Molly looked back now and then. Her owner did not. The morning sun was bright. It dried the wet clothes the boy was wearing. The ocean water was very calm. The tide had ebbed entirely during the night and turned and was now beginning imperceptibly to creep in. A few gulls landed near the body and hopped around, looking at it. Nothing else moved. After a time, in the distance, there was the sound of a siren. Then a police car pulled up in the beach parking lot, and two cops got out and walked down the beach toward the body. When the cops got close, the gulls began to squawk and then flew up and circled overhead while the cops squatted in the sand beside the dead boy.